In and Out of Sect podcast, a show about the sun and how astrologers embody and relate to it. My name is SB Hall, and I'm your host. In today's episode on the Sagittarius sun as the sect light, I speak with the astrologer Deja Lewis. I'm really excited to be dropping this next episode of my new sun series, which will continue for the next year. For new listeners, please go back and listen to the moon series that I've been doing over the last year, where I spoke to different astrologers about their moon sign. In addition, I was honored to guest recently on Mackenzie McCormick's podcast, Funk with Fate, to talk about my experience having Mars in Sagittarius in my birth chart, along with my wonderful co-guest, Key, who is Godspeed Earthlings on Instagram. It was a really beautiful conversation where I got quite vulnerable about my personal journey, so I hope everyone listens to it and gets something out of it. I've linked that in the show notes for you to learn more. As always, if you enjoy the work that I'm doing here, please contribute to the podcast's sustainability by becoming a supporting member or offering a one-time donation on my website. There you can also find information on my services. I'm currently offering needle and timing consultations as well as answering query questions. I hope you enjoy the conversation. All right, Deja, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. How are you doing?
Hello. Thank you for having me. I am doing well. Pretty good.
Glad to hear it. It's as you are a Sag sun and we're in Sag season, your birthday is coming up. Happy birthday to you. I'm trying to think of like what's going on in the astrology. I'm going through one of those times myself where I'm like not keeping track as much.
Yeah,
maybe because I'm in a Mercury perfection year and Mercury is retrograde. But how's the retrograde been for you? Any other astrology that's happening that feels particularly resonant or important?
A lot of the astrology this year has felt resonant and important, but right now, so my birthday's tomorrow, which I'm really excited about, and I'm amazing. I'm starting a Mercury year. For my ascendant. I have Mercury retrograde. I have Mercury retrograde natally anyway, and I love Mercury retrograde.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's like my favorite time of the year. I get
were you so the one that was done. Talking about that on Twitter? Like it feels you were someone was like Mercury retrograde just feels like natural to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I think someone probably did, and I may have like retweeted it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's true. Like it is such a gift. And it's such a beautiful time of the year. So I'm interested to see how I feel about this actually after the end of a Mercury year for the first time in a while. So we'll see if I have that same sentiment. But
yeah. I will say like going through this Mercury year, the retrogrades have been very loud. And so it'll be interesting to hear your experience. But for viewers and listeners, I'm just sharing Deja's chart right now. Aries rising, so you're finishing up this Taurus year right now, right?
Yeah.
Moving into the Gemini year. Tomorrow is your birthday. For those of you who are listening and watching, we're recording Sunday, December 17th, at about 7:35 p.m. So it's your birthday tomorrow. And you have the sun at 26 Sagittarius. And so this is your sect light. And you have that sun Mercury retrograde pretty close to the Kazemi. They're just a few degrees apart. And so, and then you have your ascendant domicile ruler in Aquarius in the 11th. Super interesting chart. I'm kind of just looking at it for the first time, so I'm taking it all in. But I just wanted to share that really quickly and then just ask if you could give a quick intro just to yourself and your astrology practice. Tell us a little bit more about Deja.
I don't know. So yes, I am a triple fire chaos queen, I like to call myself, plus my Aquarius stellium makes her even more chaos, so it's a fun little life I live. My astrology practice is actually kind of on a hiatus. I feel like
Okay.
I've been spreading misinformation. I haven't really been giving readings like that in a really long time. I like really came to a really hard stop like earlier, was it in 2022? Yes, because I got like really stressed out that we're heading into a recession and I was like, I need to find a job. I don't know if this is going to be viable for long enough. So I had a bit of a freak out and then it was a hard-ish stop and then I've just kind of been like slowly coming to a halt in terms of like readings specifically and like churning out content consistently. But yeah, I study traditional astrology. I've learned a lot from Chris Brennan and Kelly Surtees, my queen. And yeah, I feel like I've learned from a lot of places and from a lot of people, a lot of the time through books and especially the astrology podcasts and like webinars and like shorter segments of astrology versus like one long course because I just can't focus on something for that long. What else? Oh, and I'm from Philly, and that's a huge part of my identity, and everyone needs to know that Philly is the greatest city on earth. And yeah,
Very
go
cool.
birds. So.
Nice. And I want to just ask about like taking that hiatus. In retrospect, do you feel like that was the good, like a good move for you to kind of move away from, you know, like what did your professional practice look like, and how has it felt to kind of move away from it and just be more of a student again, or what have you?
Yeah, it was interesting. It was really sad, but like also kind of makes sense. And also it was like a lot of like maybe I think I would have come to this conclusion anyway, but like in terms of like stopping consultations, but I think the whole experience may have been a little bit different had I like recognized that a lot of it was just feeling like I didn't know enough and like feeling like I was taking up space when I wasn't like I feel like it's part of it was like astrology is so accurate and like so amazing and I'm just not that accurate of a person. I would rather someone tell me this is it and I'm like great. I believe like not I believe astrology but like you know what I mean? Like this is like my worldview and so I want to trust someone who has that like that accuracy, I don't. And I want to give people that because that's what's so cool about astrology to me. And I think that's also like speaks to like being a Sag is like, there's so many cool things in the world. Astrology is so cool to me. And when I'm like steeped in it and it's all I'm thinking about, I'm just like, blah, 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 blah. But like, I just want to tell everyone, but like, I still feel like there's still so much left that I just have not even begun to like actually uncover and tested on my own to come to my own conclusions, to like stand up on a pedestal and be like, I know a lot about astrology. I don't know. It's just really old. And I feel like I'm so young compared to astrology. So like, how can I, you
It's
know?
interesting. I definitely relate to that feeling of like, I want to provide something of value. But then I'll also hear professional astrologers who have tons and tons of experience and can provide a certain amount of precision and accuracy in their readings, be like, you know, talk about the beautiful thing of astrology is that there's always something to learn. And so I feel like that's a hard thing to kind of rectify, where you're like, okay, I have so much more to learn, but I'm never going to learn all of it. And at what point is it like sufficient, you know, a sufficient amount of knowledge? And I think it's just, I don't know, I think it's an important conversation to have, because I've heard a lot of astrologers having a hard time booking, and I think the general economy is not good, and that affects like what people are able to spend on readings and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And yeah, so I could see people not getting readings and kind of internalizing like, maybe I'm not good enough or something like that, but it might not be that at all. You know, it's so I don't know. I think it's a hard thing to say, and I think it's an important conversation to have.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah.
It's
But
tough.
I definitely don't have all the answers, and I'm like going through my own journey with my studies and doing readings professionally as well. So, I definitely don't claim to know, but yeah, I'm really interested to hear more about like everything that you have going on in your chart, and especially in relation to like that idea of accuracy and like whether that's important for astrology. I agree. But I'm just, before we kind of get into your chart more deeply, I'm just curious, like, before you became astrologer, or like when did you become an astrologer, and what was your relationship to like the sun and sun sign astrology before that? Because I think we all, especially like traditional students, kind of come in and we're like, oh wow, there's a lot more to this than maybe like just reading my horoscope or whatever. But I'm also curious, as like a day chart sun and Sag, if you've like identified as a Sag throughout your life, because like I have a night chart sun in Capricorn, and like I didn't like the way that people talked about Capricorn, you know what I mean, like from a sun sign perspective. So just curious to hear about your experience.
No, I have always known all my life that I was a Sagittarius. I love being a Sagittarius. It's like one of my favorite things ever. I just think we're so fun. And I also have an aunt who's a Sag, and she's her birthday is 2 days before mine. So like I've always had like another Sagittarian figure in my life. And I don't know. I've always just I have a really good friend who's born the day after me. So I've always like been around Sagittarian energy, and I love us. Anyway, yeah, it's a ninth house sun. So I've just and when I came upon my chart, I was like, okay, that's so funny. And it just made so much sense, just like seeing everything else al alongside the Sagittarianness. So it did start out knowing I was a Sag. And I was like, yes, love that. And I was reading my horoscope, and I'd read things here and there, but like I was like, I don't know, this isn't enough, and I feel like there could be more to this, but I'm not 100% certain. And then I was on Twitter. I've been on Twitter for many, 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 many years, and someone was talking about Venus signs, and I was like, what?
What are
And then
those?
I was so curious, and then I looked up and I found out that I had Venus and Aquarius, and I was like, oh, and that is what really like blew, that's what blew the floodgates open for me, was just like unlocking this huge Aquarius stellium in my chart, and it just like made everything. I was like, oh my God. Because like there's this, since they always talk about Sagittarians being very just like free minded and free spirited, I guess, and doing whatever we want and just kind of just going out there and galloping through down whatever. And I've always felt a little bit more like serious than that. And so and a little bit more grounded, or not grounded, more so just like based in like no, but like this is actually like something that's actually happening in real life. This is not we're not like just in the theoretical space anymore.
We're not just like vibing. Yeah.
Yes. And so yeah. So it was Twitter. Shout out to Twitter. And showing me my Venus and Aquarius and unlocking all of that for me was really cool. And yeah, I definitely identify as a Sag. Very much so.
Cool.
Archery was my favorite Wii Sports thing.
Oh,
Very
nice.
yeah, very fitting.
That's so cool. Yeah, I was just talking on another podcast that I did with Mackenzie McCormick about my Mars and Sag, that like I was like shooting bows from like a really young age.
One.
Yeah, like I learned how to shoot a bow and arrow when I was like super young.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because I have Venus and Aquarius as well, like right around there too. And it's just
Crying.
interesting. It's interesting, like Venus conjunct Mars, Mars like ruling your ascendant, in that place. That's like, I don't know, I feel like Venus in Aquarius, it's like very offbeat in a way, very
Yeah.
like But it's weird because it's in that Deccan. So like she's like, I have something here that I can like provide in this place that's like just very weird, like very kind of weird and kind of offbeat. I don't know. I kind of relate to that a lot. Yeah, and so I'm curious in relation to like, you know, these things that you've said about, you know, loving Sag. You have a lot of Sagittarians around you. It sounds like they've played a like your aunt played has played an important part in your life, but I'm just curious your thoughts, more of your thoughts about like what does the sun mean astrologically, and what is this, you know, place, this sign called Sagittarius? What does that mean to you?
The sun. The sun is so interesting to me and like a lot to deal with. Just a lot. I always just look to Leo suns especially to like kind of just get an idea of the sun in general, and then just looking outside. It's like we know when it's daytime. And there's no mistaking it. Even if there's clouds in the sky, we will still know that the sun is out and that it is daytime. And the sun will make its presence known, whether you like it or not, and can like has potential to cause damage. And I think this leads to the idea of the sun being malefic, because I absolutely think it is. Like I feel like too much sun can be too overwhelming. It can be too exhausting and drying, and like you can only burn but for so long, and like be only be able to like stand in that energy for so long. And you know, we need breaks every now and then. But no, yeah, the sun is like it's like our central point. It's the thing that we in our lives personally we kind of revolve around to a certain extent, or we feel like yeah, this is like where our lives revolve around. And not to say that like in terms of like the essence that we are but I feel like even that's kind of funky, because I feel like sometimes I get confused with conflating personally with like conflating your ascendant and the rule of your ascendant with the sun. And I also think it's just like a personal, because I feel like those two things are so intertwined for me personally. I can't really,
Yeah.
but
For those who like don't know so much about like exaltation and stuff like that, you're an Aries rising and the sun exalts in Aries. So the sun does have like a stake in the rulership of your ascendant. There's a kind of for Aries rising, this the sun is like there's an element of identity there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or like maybe it's more so like understanding like what you kind of you sometimes what your identity can be revolved around, and then the ruler of your ascendant and the ascendant itself is like again like maybe it's like the outfit. If you think of like so sorry. If you think
No, go
of the
for it.
birth chart and the ascendant being the helm and like the ship and like how you're navigating your life. Maybe the sun is kind of like, it's what the ship looks like. It's kind of like the brand of the ship. It's like if what type of sails you have and like what is being seen by everyone else. It's kind of all of that. And whereas like the captain of what is gearing the ship, obviously they're going to be working, maybe they're not working together. Maybe they're, you know, opposing and they don't like each other. But maybe figuring out like, what's the okay? I also like work in branding and marketing and shit, so I do have that filter in my life. If someone's like, he's talking about branding, it's because I get paid to talk about branding. But yeah, so that's my thought. That's actually a really great idea, and I need to talk about that more, because that's interesting. Maybe just to me.
What exactly is interesting? What do you feel like you need to talk about more?
Just the boats and what the boat looks like, and but like the captain of the boat and like where the boat is heading is like something in and of itself.
I mean,
Worth no one talks about the appearance.
I really think about that a lot because So throughout the history of astrology, nautical metaphors have been really important. So this idea of the ascendant as the helm, and like the native being a symbolic of a ship. And there's this technique called the Master of the Nativity technique, which Chris Brennan talks about in one of the podcast episodes for the Astrology Podcast. Demetra talks about a lot in her second book, because in volume two, she talks about the houses in the beginning, and then she talks about like the rulers of the chart, different rulers of the chart. And the ascendant ruler is just like one option for like the person that rules the chart. And I'm a student of Ali Alomi's, and he talks about
The goat.
yeah, he's amazing. He talks about the ascendant ruler as like the avatar for the native, like the representative of the native, but that's not necessarily the ruler of the chart. And so he talks about the Muptas or the Kurios or the Almutant. These are all different words for the like the Lord of the Nativity. And Ali describes that as the one to which the debt is owed, which feels like a really kind of metal way of like describing a planet in a chart. And they're like the one that kind of owns the ship rather than the planet that's at the helm steering. Like you said, those two people could be different people potentially. And so it's a really interesting topic to me. And it's interesting too to think about, yeah, like how these kind of personal planets of, you know, the moon being the emotional body and the sun, like what does the sun represent? Does it represent our mind or our soul? And, you know, how all these different planets can be representative of, you know, yeah, different elements of our being or what have you. So yeah, like I do think what I'm trying to do with this sun sign series is like, okay, we have sun sign astrology. How do we put the sun back into its like proper place? How do we like not reject it because it's been so popularized or it's been overpopularized, but like how do we give it its proper place within the system?
Yeah, I
Yeah.
get that. I get
Yeah.
that.
And I like this idea of sight and like imagery, because that is the planet of sight. We don't see without the sun.
Absolutely.
We don't have life or vitality without the sun.
Absolutely. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's very true.
Yeah. So what about Sagittarius? What's some other thoughts or what have you, images that come to mind about?
Centaurs, obviously. I grew up watching the Chronicles of Narnia, and
Love
there's
it.
tons of centaurs in there, and I just loved them and like their little like tribe and stuff like that. And I even think of like just like across like all of those like fantasy sort of mediums where there are centaurs, or just even like bow and arrow attacks, because I know said just like the archer and stuff like that. But I always think about like sometimes to me I felt like archery is it's so like it's precise. It's very precise. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't seem like it would be precise, but it is. And so then that is like such an interesting I was kind of like tussling with this in my brain because I was like, how does that make sense? But to me, I kind of see it as like a like in a looping back to the fantasy world movies, trilogies, and things of that nature. Like there's always that moment where the like offense or even defense or whoever is coming to fight and their arrows, they shoot a lot of arrows and like the team that's being attacked doesn't know where the arrows are coming from, but they're all over and they're just being like taken out. It's like bam, bam, bam. And I was like, oh my God, wait a second. That is what I think about like how there's it's just like an ample amount of bows just firing and they're coming from all around you and it's widespread. And it's kind of chaotic, and like it's not like a machine gun where it's like absolutely knocking you out and it's fast, but it's still like catch it's like still like this it crazy experience of being attacked. So I feel that's what I also think about with Sag. I think about the like the widespreadness of Sagittarius and maybe in less of a like war analogy, painful point of view, just kind of like we care a lot about wanting to share the great journeys or the experiences or the things that we've kind of learned or like have seen, wanting to kind of give that back to some extent, taking that knowledge and doing something with it, kind of like the both and the dual-bodiedness of mutable signs in general, and like a combination of the two. Yeah.
Yeah, is there a desire for like taking that knowledge and dispersing it kind of in a wide way, in the same way that like you can shoot an arrow quite far?
Yes, absolutely. That's true. That's true.
So there is an element of like, and I guess this is even emphasized with the placement of your son in the ninth of like worldview, divination, philosophy, religion. Like there's an element of like wanting to spread the good word, kind of like there. I think with Sag there can be an element of like proselytization or in its negative
Absolutely.
aspects, like the zealot or what have you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I grew up in the church, like evangelical Christian, hardcore. That ninth house son is like so loud and has been my entire life. And it's taken many forms. So astrology is its form right now. But as a kid, it was the church. And like being on like the priest, not the priest team, but like the children's choir and doing praise dance and having all these like very expressive modes of participating in the church.
Wow, that's so like astrologer good because your sun rules your fifth, so it rules like art and you know things like creative endeavors and is in the ninth of religion. So it would make sense like you would do like dance at your church or sing in your choir or something like that.
That was my life.
Was
So
that
yeah.
also like an important part of your identity, or was that just like something you did?
Absolutely. Oh my God, no, absolutely. It kind of had to be like my parents were very religious, and so it was, and this is kind of where the zealot and then also like just having Jupiter and Aquarius as well really comes into play. It was like, this is the only option. And if you deviate from that, there's a problem. Like this is an issue. And just kind of like the fixed nature of that. And also my son is in Saturn's part of Sag, decan of Sag. So it's a lot of burden. So yeah. What was the question? I don't even remember what it was originally. I'm so sorry.
I think it was like whether it was part of your identity
Oh,
as well
yes.
as like just something that you did, because I think that that can be two, you know,
Different
don't doesn't
things.
necessarily have to be the same thing.
Oh, yeah, no. Like, I have pieces of things that I've written as a kid, and like, something was like, "What's your favorite book?" And I was like, "The Bible." Like, come on. It was really ridiculous. It was bad. It's so embarrassing, but it's so funny. So yeah, it was in there.
I mean, I think as children, we also have like we res can respond to our lack of agency in interesting ways, where it's like
Absolutely.
you make the best of the fact that like this is the only way you can kind of do it, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so I guess it makes a lot of sense that with Jupiter in a fixed sign, there would be some, you know, ruling your sun and ruling that ninth house. There would be some feelings of that. I wonder too, I'm just trying to like gather my thoughts. With the sun in the ninth ruling the fifth, and like being exalted in the first, were you like, did people think like that you were a good singer? Like, did you have some kind of like especially Jupiter in the 11th, like this like sign of like or the house of like community, were they like, oh yeah, you like the something that you get acclaim for?
Yeah, absolutely. I danced a good chunk, a lot, and we absolutely did go to like different churches to dance and stuff. It's so cringe talking about it. But it's so true. It's so true. But something more current. I made an astrology drinking game with my friend,
Oh, cool.
and we did a whole crowdfunding campaign, and raised money on Kickstarter for it. So that was a more recent Jupiter return story situation for me. And I also just like really love making like things about astrology, like different, just like I made a planet poster series, and I'm trying to figure out if I have the creative inspiration in me to do one for like all the zodiac signs. But I don't know, I love having this like framework, this theoretical framework to create around, and to like inspire that creativity.
Yeah, it's just amazing, like continuing to look at your chart and being like, oh, right, you have your lot of fortune in the ninth house too. Oh, wait, you have your moon in the fifth house. You have your lot of spirit in the fifth house. Like, there's so much that's speaking to like fifth house, the combination of like fifth house, ninth house topics perhaps in your chart. And also this idea of like, again, Jupiter ruling the ninth, like crowdfunding. It's just like the kind of like joys that come around community
Absolutely.
and what have you, where it's like, you know, the ruler of the second and the 11th, like there's just so much that kind of speaks to it. But it's just interesting how multifaceted astrology can be, because your chart is just as descriptive of like dancing in church as a kid as it is making an astrology drinking game as an adult, you know.
Right, exactly.
So that's really, really fun.
Yeah.
Very
Lovely.
cool. Okay, so I'm curious. Yeah, I feel like we talked about what the sun means for you to be in Sag. Do you have any other kind of thoughts about Sag or the sun or stories that come to mind that feel like representative of Sagittarius?
Yeah, I love to travel. As annoying as that is, and it's like one of the things that they always talk about Sagittarians. Always been like, that's so annoying, but like it's like true. And I didn't realize it, but I have family right now. I'm actually at my grandma's house in Maryland. And I used to come down here twice a year, every single year for Christmas and during the summer. And then this is my dad's side of the family, and I'm in Philly, and so like I'm like so used to just like taking 95 and driving down, whether it's like by car or by train or by bus. Like all my life I have just like been in motion, like so comfortable getting far away and figuring it out to some degree. I haven't like flown as much, but like I think that's just because of, I don't know, I just think it's, I don't have a, I don't know, it doesn't matter. Yeah, no, I love traveling. And it's not even just like going to the place, it's just like the whole process of like just sitting on the train and looking out the window and seeing all there is to see and just experiencing it all.
I think that is a very like Sagittarian thing. I was thinking about that a lot. I drove across the country at the end of September. And I've always loved sitting on trains, just like looking out the window. But there was something really beautiful about like driving across the country, and just I'm like, I could do this all the time, you know. Yeah, it took me like a week, but I was just, yeah, it's just amazing to like look out the window and just see things move by. Feels
It's beautiful.
I thought it was like a Sag moon thing, but it's interesting to hear you talk about it with your Leo moon, but like your other the other Sag placements that you have. So maybe it's just generally like a Sag thing.
Yeah, I love it. I love it so much. Yeah, it's just like the exploration of it all and just like seeing new things. It's just so interesting. And then even like just going back to Fixed Jupiter, I always feel like when I do something multiple times, I get more out of it each time. And so that's what I sometimes I feel like Jupiter in Aquarius keeps me tethered. Otherwise, I don't know if people like I'm just thinking about the next Sagittarian group of like my age has Jupiter and Pisces, and I don't know how to get anything done because I should, they just be living in this la la land of no offense, God bless their hearts. But yeah, I don't know. There's so much to say about Sagittarians. I think we're so rowdy and cannot be contained. And I think of Miley Cyrus's "Can't Be Tamed" era, and Nicki Minaj is just off the rockers. Like, and that's not to say that it's because they're Sagittarians, but like, I just feel Tyra Banks. We're just so outlandish, and I love it. It's wild, but it's amazing. You're just like,
Well, I'm just like the term that comes to mind, the term that comes to mind is like campy. Like there's an
yes,
element of camp, I think, that comes with the
absolutely.
Sagittarius, which is like feels Jupiterian in a way. I don't know, like yeah.
It's true.
And I'm just thinking about how like I can be outlandish too in my own Sagittarian way. So it's interesting, yeah, thinking about the Sages in my life.
It's
Yeah.
fun.
I mean I love Sages.
Yep.
Cool. I'm glad that we got like a few examples too. But yeah, I'm interested to hear a little bit more about just like your thoughts about joy, planetary joy, because you do have these two planets that is it only two that joy in your chart? You have Jupiter and you have the Sun.
Yeah.
And so yeah, Jupiter's in the 11th, this place of like community and hopes and dreams and like all these kinds of positive things. And the Sun's in the 9th. The Sun's like associated with God, and the 9th is associated, called the House of God, and is associated with kind of pilgrimage, which is where I think these travel connotations come in with the 9th house. So I'm just curious if you have any thoughts about like, you know, Jupiter in the 11th, Sun in the 9th.
Yeah, I feel like yeah, it planetary joys to me kind of help. They've always helped me understand both the house and the planet better. For Jupiter in my 11th, I have always really not necessarily cared in terms of like, no, I do care. Cared about like making friends and like having it, even if we're not like besties hanging out every weekend, at least being acquaintances and familiar enough to where like we both have a central sense of like mutual trust and like awareness of each other. I was on student government a lot. And like I just always like w and I wanted to get into politics originally when I went to college, and like run for office and stuff like that until I realized that they're jokes and I don't take any of them seriously. And I was like, you know what? I actually don't want to do that anymore. Yeah. But no, yeah, I just yeah, having friends is really important because you can't do anything in this life on your own. And it's always really nice to know people. And also like as like a designer and like working with brands and things like and just with being a social media manager and just all like the digital marketing experience I have, I'm thinking about like if you want to create something that is bigger than yourself, you are going to need people and you're going to need a good chunk of people to help you along that journey. And it's better to like just making those connections as you go casually, just because you actually care, and then you may be able to make a nice little mutually beneficial sort of relationship later on. So yeah, just be nice to people. That's my thing. Always be nice because you never know who's gonna help you out later. Unless they're horrible people, then yeah, absolutely drop them. But you know, so yeah, that's
Yeah,
Jupiter.
I totally feel that, and I'm like, I'm like, I wonder if that feels so operative for you because your ascendant ruler is there and
Yeah.
both benefics,
Yeah.
that it's like friendship is important and also it's good for you. Like,
It
yeah. So that it does feel really interesting. And I do feel like there's something about the way that you just described, like, these 11th house connections, because it isn't always like friendship. It can be sometimes more like those like loose ties. But like there is something very Aquarian about like just be nice to people, make friends, and then like, but you see the wider picture of like that can lead to a lot of good things, you know what I mean? A lot of mutually beneficial relationships that feels very kind of perspectival in the way that Aquarius can be like looking at the whole kind of like the whole picture from like the margin.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need each other. So,
Cool. Yeah,
yeah.
let's look at my questions here. Yeah, are there any aspects that the sun's making in your chart that you think would be important to discuss?
I would say it's just beating up my Mercury real bad, but it's what you're gonna do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to return to the thing that you said at the beginning of the conversation about like precision and the need for precision in astrology, because I do think, like, I do think that Mercury in Sag is not necessarily precise, but I think that that doesn't mean that it's not prophetic, you know what I mean?
True.
And like the Sun Mercury combination in the ninth could potentially speak to that, but I'm just curious to hear more of your experience about that, or like how you why you think you're that kind of person.
Yeah. I definitely it to me it feels kind of like a I kind of have to be in the vibe for the like prophetic part of me to kind of come through slash like it's the vibe when I'm like, oh yeah, I'm getting it. But like sometimes I also feel like I'll say things to people and I will casually like look up people's charts and stuff like if like I'm talking to them and they ask me about oh and I mentioned I'm an astrologer, I do astrology, blah blah blah. I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll look at your whatever. Anyway. So and then like, oh my God, yes, like that's absolutely it. So part of me is like I'm like skeptical because and I also think this is again just like the where my Sag stuff is in Sagittarius, and also just having Saturn on my ascendant, when I'm saying things, I'm like, yeah, but like this is sometimes it feels based off of vibes and not like I did this technique to come to this conclusion and it has been verified by multiple other ones and it is absolutely true.
Yeah.
You know.
It feels funny. It like the idea of like proof or whatever, and like how that like you can prove 2 + 2 = 4, but the sun's association with like just looking at it like with visibility, you're just like, yeah, I could prove it in a mathematical way, but I could just look, like I'm just looking at it, I could tell you know what I mean? Like, why do I have to prove it? Like, I see it in front of my eyes, isn't that proof
I'm
enough?
crying. I'm crying. Yes. No, absolutely. Yeah, so it can be a little, it can be, I don't know. And yeah. That can get a little, it can be a little tough. And it just kind of got to me to a certain extent. So I was just like, ah, I want to provide the proof. But like, also, why do you need the proof? Wasn't it right? But also, like, you know what I mean? I don't like being that person with astrology, especially because I feel like there, we need, not we need, whatever, we'll be fine. But like, but there is a certain amount of like, I don't know, just like respect and like not me just like shooting shit off my hip sort of thing. I don't want to do that, you know? So, because enough people think that we're already doing that, and that's not the case. So I just don't want to add.
And do you feel like that is like you mentioned Saturn on the ascendant? I'm just curious like this feeling of needing to have a certain standard?
Oh,
Or
absolutely.
how do you feel like that shows up for you,
Oh my
Saturn on
God.
ascendant?
Oh. Oh my God. Saturn in Aries on my ascendant is literally, that is a whole thing in and of itself. But yeah, it's really tough because I feel like I do a lot of like research and understanding, or trying to understand how people have done things previously, and like to then figure out how to like construct my life to get to that, or just, you know, reverse engineering it so that I can get to that point. And like knowing like the people who are successful were doing this at this point in time, and then they got to this point at this point in time. So like, and they had these things, and then I get in my head, I'm like, I'm not there, and I don't know if I can do that. And it's like, it's so tough because like Saturn in Aries just wants to say, screw it, I'm just gonna do it. But then if you move too quickly, you like you're, what's the word? Make chancing you making a fool of yourself. Like you're taking that chance. And I also think that's also like the sun and all of this is like, do we really want to take that chance to like make us fool of ourselves, or are we going to take a little bit more time? So
Especially with like the sun's association with like royalty,
right.
it's like the
Yes.
king can't look like a fool.
Exactly. Yes. It's so bad, but I've always felt like we can all mess up, obviously, but like getting in trouble and making mistakes and other people knowing that I messed up is like, no way. Oh no.
Feels like really awful.
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
It's
So.
interesting. It's interesting too, with just Saturn ruling your MC and, from your first, and how that could potentially, like, given Saturn's dignity in Aries, how that could be like unacceptable or like not in like something like a risk you're willing to take. But it is interesting thinking about Sagittarius as like, and maybe this is the difference because I'm thinking about like my Mars and Sag, which is a little bit less constant. You know what I mean? Like there's a constancy that comes with the sun that I think is
True.
like, it's modulated by being in this very like changeable sign of Sagittarius, but like you talked about at the beginning, like what is a Leo sun like, and like there's that constancy that's associated with the sun,
True.
rises like on time every day, sets on time every day,
Right.
it's there even if it's cloudy. So, I think about Sagittarius sometimes as like doing a lot of different things. There's a kind of risk taking that can come with that. But again, maybe that's just my own personal astrology kind of coming through.
Yeah, there's a lot of risk assessment, but I definitely can see how like Mars and Sag just like, fuck it. It's gonna do it. We're just gonna do it. And that sounds like a lot of fun. I love Mars and Sag. There's a person I went to undergrad with who had Mars and Sag, and it's just such an interesting placement to see like in practice with someone who was very like outlandish in general. So it's just, and finding that out, I was like, oh my God, that's so hilarious. It's the feral, the beast, bestialness of it's lovely. So
And I guess just to kind of wrap up the thoughts about Saturn and Aries, do you feel like there's any mitigation, like between mitigation of Saturn's condition with Mars being in Aquarius and them kind of being in this mutual reception?
I always forget about that. But actually recently I've been like, you know, Deja, you're not that bad off. You could be worse. Things could be worse. Yeah, I definitely get it because I understand the need for like being dedicated to something and like knowing like, you know, if you're gonna do this, there's no turning back. Like once I'm locked in, I'm locked in. And I will do what it takes to like just duck my head down and do what I have to do once I like find the thing. And I'm very okay with it coming from myself and being like, I'm not gonna depend on other people to a certain, obviously, because like I'm getting help from friends and stuff like that, but to like depend on people to like, or depend on outside forces to bring it to me. I'm very much like, I'm just, if I want a rug, I'm just gonna buy a Tufton gun and the whole machine, and we're just gonna do it, and I'm just gonna make a rug.
Nice.
So I haven't done that yet because I don't have the space. But once I have the space, then then it'll be over. But yeah.
Cool. But I mean, I guess I could see that, like, the ruler of the 11th and the first, the ruler of the first and the 11th, there's this kind of like interplay between community and identity.
Absolutely.
That, like,
Absolutely.
I'm sure sometimes, like, one obviously wins out of the other. And like you said, you're very aware of the fact that no individual exists in isolation, that we're all part of a larger network.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've always been very aware of like who knows who and like yeah, how like you don't necessarily have to be in the in to like be in the in. You can just like know a couple of people and like be friends with them. And you may or may not get invited to a party every now and then. I actually was not invited to anything in high school, but I think that was because I was on student government. So people just saw me as a narc, but that's okay. And there's a lot of other sociological dynamics at play, but again, conversation for another day. But yeah, no, I love my communities. I will ride for my people, and we have to have each other's back. It
Oh
my
yeah.
motto, we're not free till we're all free. So
I
we gotta
love
fight
that.
together.
Important motto for these times,
Oh
especially.
yeah. Yeah, it's real bad. It's real bad, real bad. So yeah, no, we can't stop talking about it. Can't stop sharing information about it and learning as much as we can. Because once you start learning, it's over. It's a wrap.
Our horizons broaden, and we can, like, see things in a different way or act in a different way.
Absolutely. Really changes the game. Knowledge. Who'd have thought?
Who would have thought from a ninth house son, knowledge changes the game? And ruling the fifth again, knowledge
Right.
changes the game.
It's because it does. It
No, it's
does.
so true.
Yeah.
It's so true. Deja, do you have any suggestions for someone that's like a new student to astrology, in navigating their relationship with their son?
Ooh.
Or just like in like having a relationship with the sun astrologically in general?
Yeah. I would, I guess, you know, read up about the sign and stuff like that. Maybe try to do some cute things on Sunday during the hour. I'm making this up, so don't quote me on this, but during the hour of the ruler of the planet of your sun. So like for me, since I have the sun in Sag,
Interesting.
Jupiter hour on Sunday, and doing something cute and fun, like going on a bike ride for sun and Sag, or like reading a book or taking a course or something like, or like, you know, chipping away at something along those lines. Maybe that could be kind of fun. I don't know.
Cool. I like that. I like that a lot, actually.
Yeah. And is there anything else? I don't think so. I don't know. Sit
Okay.
in the sun, sit outside.
Yeah. Just bask in the glory of the sun.
Yes. Yep. Oh, I also like to like if depending on where you live, look at where the sun is rising or where the sun is throughout the day, throughout the entire year. Like, because sometimes it's so interesting, but like where my house is, there's like how like it's like row houses, so you can actually really like say, oh, the sun rose like around this corner of that this brick. So it's really easy to like map it out, but it's so interesting to watch the sun like move across the sky throughout the year. Wild. And it's like a nice little meditative practice.
Yeah,
Thanks.
that's really cool. All right, any imparting thoughts about the sun or anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
I don't know. I think that's it.
We did it.
I think we did it. Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Okay, Deja, is there anything that you're working on that you want to share with us, and where can we find you on the internet or what have you?
Yeah, I am on socials, all the socials under Deja the Jovian. Yep. And I'm on another podcast, Replicity. We're, we
I
release
get so
episodes.
excited when new episodes drop.
It's a rare occurrence at this point.
Yeah.
But yes, me, Jared, and John chat about the upcoming astrology and we spill the tea. And it's really fun.
And I feel so
And
honored that I've now had all three of you
that's true.
Triple C on my podcast here.
That's true. You've been our sun in this. We were revolving around you. Yeah, and if you're in Philly, I host astrology nights at Triple Bottom Brewing on
Oh, cool.
Wednesdays at 6 p.m. every other Wednesday. So follow me on Instagram to know when it's gonna happen. And is that it? I guess that's it for now. Yeah, I do a lot and I pivot a lot. So following me on the socials would be the best bet in terms of knowing what I'm doing. And yeah.
Awesome. Cool. All right, Deja. Well, it was a pleasure talking with you today. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and hope to chat again with you soon.
Yes, thanks for having me.
To support the show by donating or becoming a member, please visit my website, which is linked in the show notes. And please subscribe to the show wherever you listen. You can also find me on Instagram and Twitter. See those links in the show notes as well. If you have any questions or feedback on the show, please feel free to contact me via my website or email me at sbalhorary@gmail.com. In the show notes, you can also find links to astrologers and resources that we touched on in this episode. Thanks for listening to the show. I'll see you next time.